all your the windows that you had, that sort of thing.
Firefox, browsing state and history.
Yeah, but do that something similar from for HL. I mean, just an example application.
Or maybe just file copy, like a copy routine, and you can crash the copy in the middle of the session. I mean, if you're copying a large
file,
or singular copy or something like that, where you can restart from where you left off.
That could be a good example. But
does that need to address persistent file pointers? Maybe it does.
Yeah, it will definitely.
Maybe something along those lines.
I mean, that's okay. I mean, that's something that we need to address. And I mean, probably in the recover part, what would happen is that you would need to reopen the file.
Mm. I mean, having a few such simple applications, I think adds value to the picture. A large file copy, for a copy, if we make it.
Well, although actually I wouldn't implement it that way.
Although you won't implement copy to be
that way. I mean, if I want a copy to be fail resistant, maybe we'll just start copying from the beginning of the file and then look at the size and something like that.
Mm.
And then just resume from where I am. I don't know. I mean, could be an example.
But still, you need to. And what if you overwrote a file? What if you were to overwrite a file? So let's say you copy from source to target, and the target already exists. So you have a previous version of the target. You don't know whether you actually started writing or you didn't start writing, and then looking at the size of the file may not be sufficient. Maybe there is something more to worry about. But copy is just one example. Maybe it's not the best one. Something along similar lines.
Yeah, the idea is something that has a state that you can lose
if you don't
check them.
Right. And here we are talking in some sense about long-running stuff, right? I mean, say, look at HEC.
So what do we do, for instance, take a small example of a classic parallelizable application where you have multiple threads running, something like a matrix multiplication, something like that, and make a persistent version of it.
Mm.
I mean, we can have multiple types of applications, right? Like single user application, then parallel application, probably multi-user application.
Mm. If we have a parallel application, then we have to do the coordinated checkpointing. And by the way, I was reading...
Well, but if we have only one container...
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Could be one guy that coordinates the checkpoint.
I was reading this paper, which I would highly recommend.
PLFS. That was in last year's PDSW, right?
No. Maybe it was, but this is in Supercomputing 2009. The full paper.
Okay.
And it has some interesting information. For instance, questions like, in a parallel application, how many checkpointing files do you have and things like that.
Okay.
And the idea is that, with checkpoints being written all over the place, can you make the writing more tuned to parallel file system bottlenecks seamlessly by inserting this virtual file system layer, virtual parallel lock structured file system is what they call it, although I don't know what is lock structured about it. Maybe there is some element of log structure. Log structure in here. It's not really log structure. I don't know why they call it log structure.
So they have multiple virtual file systems, then a layer, there is a log structure layer?
No. So I don't know if how much you know about how parallel file systems work. Parallel file systems typically are a virtual layer,
mm-hmm.
right? So they use local file systems at each storage node,
mm-hmm.
and they sort of stitch together all these local file systems to make a
mm-hmm.
sort of virtual,
like
logically, yeah, logically unified file system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what PVFS does.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what Lustre does.
So they, but they use file system operations.
They
like
use file
open,
system.
Close,
yeah, exactly.
Read, write, and
correct.
Two files.
Now, this paper, maybe I should just let you read this paper and then we
okay.
can discuss. But the idea is that the problem that they're trying to solve is that when you have a massive number of processes that are simultaneously writing a checkpoint because it's coordinated,
mm-hmm.
the state has to be coordinated across all the processes. Then all these processes write to a single checkpoint file.
Mm-hmm.
That's the current one of the current practices is to have all the processes write to a single checkpoint file, which causes some bottlenecks
mm-hmm.
because of the sharing of the file across all these processes. And their idea is to make a virtualized layer that's going to solve this problem.
Okay.
So I'll let you read the paper and we can discuss whenever we meet next.
Okay. So. Okay, so in terms of planning, I think what needs to happen right now is that we should get some experiments running. So, I mean,
I think it's there are still some implementation issues that
there are still some implementation issues. So one of the things that in the paper we have three different drivers for the persistent storage. Right, we have SSD, local SSD, local hard drive, and parallel file system.
Mm.
So I'm guessing that main group is going to work on the parallel file system
yes.
driver.
Yes.
Right. So we don't have to worry about that. I mean, I don't have to.
At this
or
point,
probably coordinate with them. So.
Yeah. At this point, we don't need to worry about it, and at some point, we have to start coordinating with them as well.
Okay.
So Dulcado is the one who's working on it. Do you know Dulcado?
No.
He's Ricardo's friend from Bolivia.
I heard about him, but I don't know him.
So he's
personally.
Working with Ming, and he's doing this, at least for now, he's doing PFS delegation. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's one of the techniques that we propose in the
mm-hmm.
in the paper as well as in the proposal. So the submission we sent out talks about PFS delegation. The proposal has a more detailed description.
Okay. So in that sense, what we need to get going is the prototype.
Yeah.
And then some of the examples that we discussed.
Yeah. I mean, for instance, the stuff on copy on write. I mean, we don't really the read protection and stuff like that. I mean, I don't think we implemented those things. Right?
Yeah. That's a very good point. Yeah, I'm marking right now every time I do a write.
Especially if you want to modify existing applications, we cannot afford to do that. So that's one implementation issue that has to be addressed. And there is also, you might want to look at lib checkpoint.
Yeah.
Lib-C-P-A-D.
But what I remember from that is that it's a very old library.
Mm-hmm. No, but it might address those copy and write stuff. So if you have...
Yeah, so what they did is that they do some sort of locking of the page, and then you will get an interrupt whenever you write to that page.
I think they probably use mmap to do that.
And they don't. They do something different.
Mm.
I'm sure they don't use mmap. They use something like... it's a different malloc, I guess. What do you do? I know that something like, okay, so the malloc has to be page aligned. And then you, after the malloc is page aligned, you do some other operation where you say that page is going to have a write handler.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be read only, and you specify which is the write handler. And then the write handler works with invoke, obviously, each time that you do a write.
Yes. From what I understand, that's the functionality that MMAP provides. I may be wrong about it completely.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I have to refresh what I read about it.
Okay, so I mean that's something that we need to address. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that?
Well, so one point that I think is a very important point is how to load the stack.
Load the stack.
The runtime stack. All the frames. Right, because if you call a function and then that goes to another function, then how do you? And then you say, okay, let's say you have function, one function here that calls another function here, and then this one calls another one here. And you restore the state at this point. So you say, okay, I'm in this function, but then how do you know you have to return then to this one and then to the other one?
Wait a minute, I'm completely lost.
Okay, so let me put a specific example. So you have your main.
Uh-huh.
So main at some point calls A. Then A at some point calls B.
Yeah. Okay, so.
And B starts and it crashes here. And then you say you had your check run from there. And you want to restore it from here. Right? So the point being that after you finish B, you should go back. When you restore, you start running B from here. And after you finish B, you should ideally go back to here.
Now, you are talking about the alternative approach proposed by Leonardo. So here, you are recovering the entire state of the process.
No, I'm talking about how would we do something like that. I mean, not necessarily the whole state, but I mean,
the way I would do something like this, mm-hmm. given our original, I mean, at least my original vision of software versus
put everything in the container,
is that if I know that I create a persistence point
mm-hmm.
in different contexts, I maintain a state variable. Say that, well, I'm in this context and the last persistence point was in this, and that is persistent as well. So when I restore the container, then I know which context I was in.
So let's
say the restore code is going to accordingly invoke you know, a certain recovery.
Okay, so let's say you want to implement a persistent version of Fibonacci. Or not Fibonacci, or something, I mean, something that is highly recursive.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like calculating Ackermann function or something like that. Right, and
yeah, okay, so if you have a recursive code which has something like, a generic recursive, right? For I will n1 for j equals 1 to n2, and then put something here and call out like this.
No, that's iterative, not recursive.
Okay, so recursive, all right.
Let me say something like A, and then inside A you have something like if something, then A is n, then minus 1, else something else return, whatever. And so the idea being here is that you will have there are no variables.
There is a variable here,
Oh yeah, there's that variable.
Yeah.
So this is just the definition of AI.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an invocation. So somewhere you have to invoke
in your main, let's say
invoke A of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? Now, somewhere within this, you have to write a P point. Because you can only recover until the last P point. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you have to keep track of the level of recursion somehow in your containers. Otherwise, it's not possible to return to that specific level of recursion because you don't have the information. The question is then, how do I keep track of my level of recursion? So I could have some global variables that I set upon entering within each function context.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So, let's take this example. This is a very interesting exercise to go through,
yeah,
because even I haven't thought it through.
So that could solve it. So let's say we have a persistent point here.
Mm-hmm.
B point here. So what we could probably do is that, okay, so we want to resume execution right after that persistent point.
At the level of recursion, because this could be
at the level of recursion.
Yeah.
So what we would probably do is that, okay, so we're going to keep track this state is going to keep track of local variables,
mm-hmm.
meaning the input, the parameters and the variables it has, and it's going to insert here a go-to, not a go-to, a label, and say P point X.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, and then the recovery function is going to have it's going to know how to interpret the state, and that interpretation of the state will come up with a
state has to be global, and as long as that state is global, you can go into this line directly.
Mm-hmm.
There is no problem. Right? Because the execution is controlled by that global state.
Yes. Yes.
So let's say we have this
label. Yeah, but that will only work if, you cannot jump into another function.
It doesn't become a, you do not recreate the stack frame.
Yeah.
The jumping, what happens if you create a label into an arbitrary level of recursion and go into that from outside?
If you create a label,
I guess you cannot jump into a label from main, right?
Yes.
You cannot do that. You can only do that from within this function itself, which means you already have a stack frame for this function. So
what I was thinking is, yes, that will not work either. It will work if you have one function, because what you should probably do is that.
So one thing which can happen, for instance, is, so you could do something like that. You need to write this code itself to be recoverable.
Yes.
There's no other way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have a implementation of AN, which is normal state,
mm-hmm.
but in there you also have, if normal,
yes.
else, if recovery, you do something else.
Yes.
Right? Something to that extent. If, for instance, if it's recovery, then you check some global variables. Check globals. And if the global say, I should be doing an minus 1, then I execute an minus 1, right, else I don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I do create the, actually, no. No, I still have to create an minus 1 stack thing, so I have to,
yeah,
to invoke an minus 1. And then finally, the globals will tell me, for instance, level of recursion. I can keep track of this as a global variable. And when the level of recursion becomes equal to the current level, then I do the regular execution. Else, I don't do anything. I just keep creating stack frames, empty stack frames. Or stack frames that... Yeah, something like that needs to happen.
It was, I mean, that's a very, I mean, you have to really know the code in order to do that. Well, I mean, probably it would be ideal that we think about it and try to find a more transparent solution. I'm not sure if there is one, but... Yeah, but I mean, this is another... issue that we have to solve.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, matrix multiplication is recursive.
Yes.
Right, I mean, I was reading that Cash Oblivious paper.
I haven't started reading it.
In that, they actually give recursive algorithms for matrix multiplication.
Yes, it's recursive and very parallelizable.
Yeah.
Each cell, you can send it to someone different.
So to track state or something like that is going to be tricky. A recursion, I now see that recursion is not easy to handle. Iterations are, and I mean, one thing about software persistent memory is that it doesn't recover state of execution.
Yeah.
It just recovers state of the data,
mm-hmm.
right? So the state of the execution needs to be maintained by the programmer.
Yeah, so the idea is that we want applications that are dependent mostly on the data.
Mm.
Right, let's say, okay, I have calculated this much, so I want to keep calculating that much. For instance, a copy, the copy operation. You know how much you have copied, so you say, okay, now all I have to do is do this remaining part. Right, probably we will not be able to say, I mean, every type of application is successfully recovered, because there will be some applications that are very, they have a state that is more attached to not the data, but, well, I don't know, probably.
Yeah, but addressing this recursion issue can be a real contribution, I think. I mean, if we come up with a reasonable solution where the programmer involvement is not too high, then I think that can, because a lot of the parallel code is recursion.
Yeah.
Right? And
probably we can come up with some C macros that automatically do this sort of stuff. I mean, the sort of stuff we want to do. But I'm not sure. I mean, like building the stack frame, recreating the stack frame.
Hmm. So the heap gets recreated, that's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So the stack is... It is relevant, otherwise the programmer has to write recovery code that generates the stack.
Yes.
I mean, is there, so I guess we talked about this before as well, is that there is no straightforward way to just start from a given state of the stack, right? It's not really possible.
Mm-hmm.
But why not?
because we don't have access to stats from the user level.
Yeah, we don't have access from user level, but let's say that we have access to the kernel. Then can we just store the stack? Let's say for each persistence point, we store the state of the stack as well. And then restore it, and upon restore, we give a image of a process with the stack, and I mean, we don't have the registers.
So, okay, so in order to do that, so all memory references in the stack are virtual memory references.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And so for instance, the return to a certain address and things like that. I mean, sort of, this is going beyond what we originally planned for software persistence.
Yeah, this is more of a process.
Mm-hmm. But it is sort of, I mean, if we can address that recursion issue without going into the storing stack, then that keeps, allows us to stick to our original vision without compromising anything. Yeah. The problem is that you really cannot start executing from that point onwards without having a stack. So if you do have a stack, you also need to have, you have all the local variables in there, and so what would happen on recovery then? So on recovery, the program will restore the persistent container.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we can do it for the program automatically. See, here we are tying the process to the executable.
Yeah.
I mean, we could use the same container within another executable. And then restoring stack and all that really is not required, because the new program only is just using a container that someone else created. So the nice thing about our original vision is that then we only deal with data, and then the data is independent of the process, or the executable or the program. Then you can share this data between any executable.
So what happens if we sort of have this notion of data container and process container? So in one container we store only data, and in another one we then you will have to deal with process. How do you match the data with the container? I mean, you have to do synchronized checkpoints for both containers and all that. Which might get complicated.
No, that might be okay. I mean, since we have checkpoints are not a problem because you can just call it a single checkpoint. Right? And you write them out separately, but you have the flexibility of rolling both of them back atomically and writing both of them atomically using the same ideas that we write a single container. But a process container sounds interesting. I guess the question then is, apart from the stack, what else do we need? Do we need the registers or
but the registers will be in the stack.
The registers
are... Oh, you mean like PC and all that?
Yeah, CPU registers.
Okay, okay. I guess we would need some of the CPU registers.
See, now this becomes architecture specific.
True.
Maybe okay. I mean, that's not too bad. I mean, we can sell Intel.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if you can execute GUI PC in user level. I mean, there are going to be some instructions that you will not be able to execute in Ring 3.
Mm.
Right, then we will have all the problems that virtualization people have.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess reading is probably not an issue, but...
Writing.
Yeah. Writing, maybe. Even that...
Mm.
How do they make this work? I think recursion is a basic functionality for a scientific computer.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to test that. I mean, if there is an automatic way to maybe we are not thinking about this the right way. Okay, it's a good problem to think about.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll come up with an answer right away.
Yeah.
It's good to think about. I think it's a very interesting problem. And if it's an interesting problem, it's probably worth writing about in our paper.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a trivial thing.
Mm-hmm. And maybe our solution is not going to be elegant, right? Perhaps we can still come up with something reasonable, which doesn't look all that complex.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess you're going to work on the copy on write stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
think about this in the meantime.
Think about this in the meantime, yes. And so should we continue meeting on Mondays after this?
So before this you're busy, right?
Two. 2 o'clock I'm meeting with Ricardo.
Okay.
But we could do in the morning.
Okay, in the morning we'll be fine.
Morning?
10?
10 o'clock, yeah.
Okay. We can do Monday 10. Okay, that would be great.
But you're not available at 4, is it?
I have to go at 4:15.
Okay.
To 4:45. So yeah, I think we'll be done with 4:45. Because I don't know if we'll have a meeting with Akshat on Monday morning or not. But you prefer morning 10 a.m.?
I mean, either way, probably that one is preferable, because if it gets extended, then I don't have any issues. Whereas here, you get extended, it will probably become a little bit complicated.
Okay. Okay, let's meet at 10 a.m.
Okay.
And, okay. Okay, so we'll meet on Mondays, 10 a.m.